good news is we have the truth. The bad news is there's a lot of people spreading a lot of lies out there that are sending people to hell. And one of those lies, again, we're going to cover is evolution. We're going to talk about evolution again. I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse number 28, please. Better turn this on. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. All right. There we go. Got that on. We're going to talk about Darwin's demonic disciples. Is there any other kind for Darwin? No, there isn't really. A man named Haeckel or Haeckel. I've never really figured out how to pronounce that guy's name yet, so I guess it doesn't matter. But Haeckel is how we got Hitler. That's really what I've titled this sermon, Darwin's Demonic Disciples, Haeckel, How We Got Hitler. And it is. I'm going to show you how if it wasn't for a man named Darwin and if it wasn't for a man named Haeckel, you wouldn't have had Hitler. You wouldn't have had the rise of Nazism the way it did and what the religion that fueled it. And so to speak, I guess you could call it the science that fueled it. It's not really science. It would probably be falsely so called because it's not even good science. Right? But Haeckel, this man, he was used, he worshipped Darwin, this man did. He was used to pump this propaganda into Germany and turn it over so a man like Hitler could come along and he could rise up and he could run the world, basically, or attempt to run the world from Germany and eradicate races of people. Listen, let's pray first. Father, Lord, I pray you bless us. Help us understand this. Ah, Lord, these are trying times, and it's good to know the history of how things happened here. It's good to be able to show the satanic roots of these things and understand, for people to understand that it's you're either on one team or the other. There's only two teams. You're on Christ or Antichrist. And these wicked people were on the Antichrist side, and they were God-haters and blasphemers and inventors of evil things. Help us understand this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 28 here. The Bible says this, that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Well, this really fits, doesn't it? When you go from Haeckel to Hitler here, we understand murder. We're going to talk about Hitler more on Sunday, by the way. Hitler, the Sunday's message is going to be called Adolf Hitler, Darwin's Perfect Soldier. That's what he was. He was Darwin's perfect soldier. That's what Darwin wanted. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters. Look at this. Haters of God. Despiteful, proud, boasters. Now, here's what we're going to tune into tonight here. Inventors of evil things. These men, especially this Haeckel, he was an inventor of evil things. He was a liar. He just lied. All the foundation of every bit of science that he ever came out with, the foundation of everything that he said, everything he did, was a lie. It was all a propped up, phony lie. But he just kept telling it over and over again. And the more you told it, the more you go over and over again and tell the lie, the more it's believable to people. And that's what happened. That's what he did. Only this lie caught on and found a man who took it to its extreme. So he'd be considered a radical, right? Maybe not. Maybe just a real believer. In Islam, if you have a radical or you have a real believer, well, they kill non-believers. You know, I'm so sick of the Libertarian Party, by the way, and some of these guys that are Libertarian, even Baptists, Libertarian Baptists, they got their head in the sand, and for some reason they think that everything's just a big false flag, and that Muslims really don't want to kill people. Well, let me tell you, I understand that all Muslims don't want to kill people. I get that, okay? But I'm not dumb enough to believe that if somebody follows their demonic book to the extreme, all the way, if they are faithful believers of their demonic book, if they are fundamental in their faith, what will they do? Kill all non-believers. Kill all infidels. Wake up. How dumb can you be? Yeah, I know there's PSYOPs. I know there's CIA. I already understand all that. But you still can't get away from the fact that they're demon-filled people that follow a demonic book. But it's like there's a great disconnect today with that. Like, that's not really happening. It's all a false flag. They're not really going to cut your head off, or they wouldn't really want to do that to you. Really? Well, how can the black Hebrew Israelites walk up to you and you walk up in the, and they're not Muslim, but I mean, you walk up to them and they say, well, we want to kill, we're going to kill, there's a day you're going to come to our neighbor, we're going to kill all y'all. Christian and Muslims are the same, yeah. Well, no, we're actually Esau and they're, I think they're Ishmael, I don't know, but anyway, whatever. Those black Hebrew Israelites are really crazy people. But anyway, so the point is that what these people follow their religion completely, evolution. Hitler just followed it completely. That's all he did. He followed what Haeckel said, what Darwin said. He just believed it. I'm sorry if you ain't a real believer. Come on. I'm going to show you tonight, though. I'll show you. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Yeah, I mean, I would say this, they fall into that, don't they? What they have to do first, though, in Romans chapter 1, they had to deny God. Remember? They denied God. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So what did they become? Without natural affection. What is that? That's not just homosexuality. That's not just bestiality. That's looking at life and saying, well, your life is not that important because you're this color. And you have imperfections in your bloodline, so you're not that important, so we'll kill you. What is that? That's without natural affection is what that is. Mm-mm. That's without natural affection. Without understanding, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, unmerciful. How about Hitler? He was unmerciful, wasn't he? We'll talk about that more on Sunday. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. How many had pleasure in what Hitler was doing? Mm-hmm. How many fueled his fire and prepared him? Well, this man did. Ernst? Is it Ernst? Do I have to really call this guy? I'm just going to call him Haeckel. That's what I'm going to call him. I'm sorry. That's his last name. I'm not going to call him Ernst. It's just weird. It sounds like you're missing like it should be Ernest, but you're missing the E. You know what I mean? No, this is a real problem for me. Don't look at me like that. He's looking at me like I'm crazy. It's really a problem for me. I'm going to stumble over that all night. Is that what it is? Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Because Nate couldn't tell me. I asked him a lot, and he wouldn't tell me anything. So I don't care. He didn't help me. I'm glad you helped me. I'm glad the other Nate helped me. No, that's Nate 2.0. Okay. All right, I better keep going. I bet him working on other things. He's been pretty busy all week. All right. Ernst Haeckel. Haeck. 1834 to 1919. He promoted Darwinism enthusiastically in Germany and elsewhere in Europe. He met Darwin three times and nearly worshipped the man. How could you worship that ball of mess that guy was? What a mess that guy was. Haeckel has been called one of the most influential and controversial thinkers of his time. His scientific writings sold, listen to this, in the hundreds of thousands and were translated into 25 languages. Richard Weikert says they were probably the most popular nonfiction books in Germany in that day, from Darwin to Hitler, page 24. There's a book out there, From Darwin to Hitler. Very interesting. There's a lot of facts. A lot of facts. So, in other words, this man Hackel, whoever he is, you don't know who he is yet, but this man right here, his books sold in the hundreds of thousands, and they sold all over Germany, their most popular books in Germany. Well, I wonder what he taught. Well, if he was friends with Darwin, it wasn't anything good, that's for sure. All right. In March of 2000, issue of Natural History, Stephen Jay Gould stated this about him. Hackel forcefully, eminently, and comprehensively, if not always accurate, books appeared in all major languages and surely exerted more influence than the works of any other scientist, including Darwin, in convincing people throughout the world about the validity of evolution. In 1921, a physiologist, Max Verwin, said this, "One can state without exaggeration that no scientist has exercised a greater influence on the development of our contemporary worldview than Hackel." Wow. Now, that's saying a lot, isn't it? Yeah, that's why I call him an inventor of evil things. Because he invented it. He made it up. It wasn't real. He just lied. Everything he said was a big lie. Yes, there is a trail. There's a trail from Darwin to Hitler. And these, by the way, these wicked devils, now let me tell you something, they are trying to erase these steps as much as they possibly can and try to water down what was done and try to deny the fact that Hackel was that important of a man or anything like that, but they can't. They still use his embryo charts, which are falsified. They still use all of their records. Go get the Evolution Cruncher. You can download the PDF file for free, or you can buy the book, buy a bunch of them and hand them out to people. It's a good book. You should get it. Amen. But download the PDF file. You can get it for free. If you want it, I can send you the PDF file. But get that book, download it, and use it. You will use it to defend the faith against evolution. And just show all the falsifications in evolution. It just shows everything. The history of it. How they're just a bunch of liars. I changed the name of this series to The Satanic Roots of Evolution. Because it just fits completely. Because that's really what I'm trying to expose here. But they want to try to get rid of this link here. But you can't. He described the effect that Hackel's book, Natural History of Creation, had on him at age 16, this man did. Listen to this. He said, "It seemed that all problems of heaven and earth were solved simply and convincingly. There was an answer to every question which troubled the young mind. Evolution was the key to everything and could replace all the beliefs and creeds which one was discarding when there were no creation, no God, no heaven and hell, only evolution and the wonderful law of recapitulation, which demonstrated the fact of evolution to the most stubborn believer in creation. It was so fascinated and shaken up that I was so fascinated and shaken up that I had to communicate to others my new knowledge." Listen to this. So he went around. Listen to what this young man did at the time. He said, "I went around communicating this truth to others, my new knowledge, and this was done in the schoolyard, on school picnics, among friends. I remember vividly a scene during a school picnic when I stood surrounded by a group of schoolboys to whom I expounded the gospel of Darwin as Hackel saw it." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hackel has rightly been called the apostle of Germany for Darwinism, for evolution. He was the apostle to Germany. Don't you? I'm trying to get you to understand the importance of this, because I know you do, but just think with me here for a second. Do you realize the multi-millions of people that were killed because of this man, because of what these men spread? They were murdered because of this man. All with their teachings, what they taught. And was accepted. What did they invent? I call them inventors of evil things. Why? Because they invented a way that others could deny God with phony evidence that doesn't even exist in doctored photos. By the way, that scientists, all scientists for the most part, have confessed that Hackel's charts are false. They're false. They're phony. They're not even accurate. They can't be. It's impossible. So who is this man? And how did he get a platform that Hitler could stand up on and use it to murder people? Well, he was born into a liberal Christian home. You know, there it is. Let's stop there for a second, because I'm telling you, it matters what you believe. It matters what you teach your children. It matters what book you stand on. It matters the validity of the Scriptures, and that you take all of the Scriptures and believe everything in them and not just some of it. Not trying to explain away some of it that you're not comfortable with or that you don't like, but that you believe the Word of God. Because you know what? These wishy-washy people sent people into atheism. Because there was no, they had no power of God. You know, Brother Russ says this before. He said, if your family's never seen the power of God, you know, you're going to be in trouble. They need to see the power of God. They need to see God's power in your life. They need to see answered prayer. They need to see God provide and meet your needs that you cry out to Him for. They need to see the power of God in you and in your life. These guys didn't see that. He was born in a liberal Christian home. He became an evolutionist while studying medicine, but it was the theological modernism that paved the way. His parents were deeply religious, yet with a liberal inclination, said one man. In particular, they were influenced by a man by the name of Friedrich Schleiermacher, who died the year that Haeckel was born. And he paved the way for Darwinian evolution by replacing the authority, listen to this, of the infallible Bible with that of human intuition and feeling. He reconciled humanistic philosophy with the Bible by downgrading the Bible to a separate mythical level of reality. In his separation of the intellectual content of Christianity, the objective biblical revelation from Christian feeling, he seemed to provide a means whereby the essence of Christianity could remain unaffected no matter how much of the Bible was rejected. What did he do? The translation? German rationalism explained away the Bible, explained away the miracles of the Bible, and said, yeah, these are some great stories you can apply to your life, but really, those miracles didn't really happen. That's not really the Word of God. You don't really follow that book that much, do you? You know, I think we've had some German rationalism creep into our fundamentalist churches today. I think it's back. You know, why do you say that, preacher? Because I see all these people that when you start preaching against sin and you start preaching, they try to do away with that. They try to water that down or dumb that down and say, you know what? That's not that big of a deal. What are you saying? Are you saying there's no absolutes? Yes. That's what they're saying. Relativity has crept into to Christian thought today so much that when you see in these churches today, like when a man stands up and preaches against sin, hard against sin, and takes a firm stand against it, and you take one with your family, others that are Christians that aren't willing to take those stands, they're looking around and they try to tell their kids either, well, you're going to tell your kids one or two things. Either what that preacher is saying is right, or it's wrong. But you better not try to show them it doesn't matter. If it's right, then why aren't you following it? If it's wrong, then show them where it's wrong. But to leave it up in the air and never have a definitive right and wrong is what led to this mess. Don't you understand? All of these people were raised in a semi-Christian home. All of these people that turned out to be devils. I've seen a lot of religious devils in my life. Do you understand that this denial of the perfect, infallible words of God is what's led many astray into evolution? Either you believe it all, you believe everything in this book, or you don't. But a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's why I don't let people get away with challenging one bit of this book or speaking against it. Because it's God's holy word. And it's perfect. And every miracle is true and every jot and tittle is inspired by God. If you want to destroy the faith of children, then start questioning the Word of God whether it's all true. I don't mean question it like study it to try to prove it. I'm not talking about yourself approved unto God. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying questioning the validity of it. Well, older manuscripts and all this other garbage. What do you think's caused people not believe in the Word of God? First of all, they don't have it. They don't know where it is. Second of all, they've listened to so many critics that have come from the same spirit as these guys. You're going to end up being an atheist. You're going to believing in evolution is what you're going to end up being. You start picking and choosing what you'll obey and not obey and what is important and what can be discarded. And that's a pattern that these men had that went on to reject God completely. Schleiermacher, he further paved the way for Darwin's evolution through the pantheistic view of God. He replaced the personal creator of God, the God of Scripture, with a vague first cause. He wrote, there is no God without the world, no world without God. God could easily be thought of as a God who created through billions of years of evolution. So if you were growing up in that church and you were a little boy and you grew up hearing a preacher say those things, I mean, to me, I'd be like, well, what's the point of being here? What are we doing? Why are we wasting our time? Let's go party. Right, exactly. They try to use that. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, and by the way, we're going to talk about the gap theory, because this is where this day-age theory and gap theory comes in, which in my opinion is just sympathy for the devil is all it is. It's just compromise. Yep. It's just all it is, a bunch of compromise. We're going to talk about that on Sound the Battle Cry here pretty soon. When I get back, the week I get back, we're going to do a show on the gap theory, and we're going to deal with that. That's right. In spite of this unwholesome intellect diet, at age 20, Haeckel still held to a semblance of Christian faith. In a penitential sermon of a 20-year-old boy to himself, he was talking to himself, he said this, he exhorted himself to hold fast to the most steadfast faith in God, to have confidence in his miraculous loving kindness, and to confide in God, and he will save you and guide you. That's what he wrote in his diary, his journal. That's what he wrote. What happened to him? He didn't do that. That's what happened to him. His faith wasn't real. It wasn't real. Sadly, Haeckel did not go to the Bible and to the Christ of the Bible for this faith in God, but instead tried to maintain a Christian faith divorced from an infallible divine revelation. See, that's what these guys want to do. They want to do away with divine revelation and say, well, you can have part of the Bible being true, some of the historical stuff and all that kind of stuff, but not the divine revelation part. We'll do away with that. No, you can't do away with that. If you do away with that, it's no good. I mean, if I didn't believe that this book was, from cover to cover, was right, you don't want to know the kind of man I'd be. All right? I'm just being honest with you. I'm telling you the truth. That's just the truth. You don't even want to know. Haeckel's life was transformed during his postgraduate studies by reading Darwin's Origin of Species, which has been published in Germany in 1860. As he explained in a letter to his mistress, oh, wait, what's the Bible say they'd be filled of? Filled with fornication. Mm-hmm. There's always a reason why somebody wants to reject God and the authority of the Scriptures. As he explained a letter to his mistress, written in his waning years, he said he began as a Christian, but when he started to practice medicine and penetrate the mysteries of life and its evolution, he became a agnostic, the most desperate, spiritual, conflicting, free thinker, and pantheist. He became a pantheist. He said he started studying medicine, it turned him into a pantheist. He was called the Gadara of Jena. Haeckel was morally loose. He had many mistresses. In 1898, when he was 64 and his wife was an invalid, he began a multi-year-long adulterous affair with a woman 34 years his junior. You know, these guys are always perverts. They're just always a bunch of perverts. And that's why they want to deny God. If you study Darwin and all, they usually are like perverted in some way. Now, Darwin wasn't as much as the other guys, but, well, yes, he was. He married his cousin. And, yeah, he was a pervert. So, what am I saying? Sorry. Well, he was too devil-possessed to do anything. Listen to this, though. There's always a trail of this morbid life. Haeckel's daughter, Emma, had to be committed to a mental institution for the last part of her life. Why do all these people go insane? All of them, you trace their history. Their daughters, their children, their sons, their family, they have mental breakdowns. They go insane. Why? Because the way of the transgressor is hard, that's why. And when you deny the God of the Bible and you follow after fables, you're going to get into some trouble. And when you push a false gospel and preach against Jesus Christ, you are damning yourself to hell is what you're doing. There's always a reason why these God-hating devils do what they do. They love their sin and their wickedness. Look at the destruction that follows in their lives. His mistress commits suicide. His daughter goes insane. Death. What do they love? All they that hate me love death. And what do they have a trail of? Death. Death. He went on to say this. He said, a man himself is but a tiny grain of protoplasm in the perishable framework of organic nature. That's what he said. Let me ask you a question. What hope could you have if this was you? Why do you think his daughter went insane? Well, he couldn't help her. Why do you think she went insane? Well, he couldn't help her. What hope did he have? They had no hope of the resurrection. They had no hope of eternal life. They have no hope of God. They have no hope in anything. But all there is death to them. All their life is has no existence. All they are is just protoplasm. Without purpose. That's right. No purpose. No wonder that Haeckel wrote to his father in 1864. He said this: personal, individual existence appears to me so horribly miserable, petty, and worthless that I see it as intended for nothing but for destruction. From Darwin to Hitler. And that's a great outlook on life, isn't it? What a positive guy that was. Right? What a great outlook on life. Yep, it means nothing. It's petty, it's worthless, miserable, horrible existence I have. Yeah, he was right, because he didn't have Jesus Christ. Life has no meaning or importance to the evolutionists. Everything is change, and what does it all really matter, right? What does it all really matter? Nothing. They have no hope. He said this: for me, the value of Darwin is that the human no longer needs to have a supernatural soul, and that one no longer needs purpose to explain creation. We don't have a purpose to believe in God now because we evolved, so we can deny him. From Darwin to Hitler. Haeckel became a great blasphemer, calling the creator God of Scripture a gaseous vertebrate. That's what he called him. That's what he called the God of the Bible. He called him a gaseous vertebrate. What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 1, verse number 28? Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. All of it, the whole list. Run it. You see him in evolutionists. You see it right there. Haeckel's God was nature. He was the inventor of the term ecology. He believed in a sort of metaphysical power in nature that he called monism or monism. He wrote, "We are compelled by reaction to recognize that God is not to be placed against the material world as in Christianity, but must be placed as divine power or moving spirit within the cosmos itself." What was he tripping on? What is that? That's nothing more than pagan pantheism, wherein God is in everything as a force. God is a force. You mean like Star Wars? Yeah, sort of. Haeckel believed that the religion of nature would destroy Christianity and envisioned a time when churches would become places of nature worship. Well, he's not far off. It's evolved. He envisioned, listen to this, the enthroning of Urania or Venus, the Greek goddess of astrology, love, and beauty in the place of Jesus Christ. He said the religious service of the Sunday, which will continue as the ancient day of rest, of edification, relaxation that follows the six work days of the working week, will undergo an essential improvement in the monistic church. The mystical belief in supernatural miracles will be replaced by clear knowledge of the true miracles of nature. And temples, the temples of God as places of devotion will not be adorned with the images of saints and crucifixes, but with richly artistic representations from the inexhaustible realms of beauty of natural and human life. He said, between the high columns of the Gothic cathedrals, which have climbing plants winding around them, slender palms, and tree ferns, graceful banana trees and bamboos, will remind us of the creative power of the tropics. Seriously, he had to be tripping. In great aquaria below the church windows, delightful jellyfish. Brightly colored corals and starfish will elucidate the art forms of marine life. In place of the high altar, there will be a statue of Urania, which will represent the omnipotence of the law of matter through the movements of the planets. Quoted from Hitler and the Germans by Eric Voglin. Well, so his vision was to change and transform churches into nature worshipers. You mean that they would serve and worship the creature more than the creator? Yeah, that's evolution. So, I mean, could they, again, can these demonic people play out Romans chapter 1 any more closely than they do right now? No, they can't. They follow it all hook, and God told you it was going to happen. God warned you this was going to happen. It had happened before, and it was going to happen again. In every culture that denies God, this is what happens. They turn into a bunch of sodomites, a bunch of pedophiles, without natural affection, a bunch of God-haters and blasphemers, and a bunch of people that serve and worship the creature more than the Creator, who is God blessed forever. Murder. Right. All right, number two, like any satanic Darwinian disciple, he was a hateful racist. So this is the history that they don't like to talk about, though. They want to try to, let's not talk about this. Because if we start linking this with evolution, then you'll start questioning the fact that why am I following these people that actually openly hate people, want to eradicate racists completely? Why would I even believe a theory that came from these people? That's a good question. Why would you? I'll tell you why, because you don't know. That's why. They've erased this part of the history. This is not out there. They don't teach this in public. Hey, anybody have a science book? I wonder if they teach this in the public school in Northfield. You think they're going to teach what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, that I'm going to quote for quote, that I'm going to say? You think that part of evolution is being taught? No. Why? Because this is the real spirit and religion behind. This is the satanic roots of evolution. And that's why they can't teach it. Because they know it's a state-funded religion. They know it is. This is a religion. If any evolutionist ever walks up to you and starts mocking and laughing at you and telling you that, oh, you believe in the what they call, what that one guy call it, the flying spaghetti monster or something like that. You believe in the flying spaghetti monster. You believe in this. Well, you believe in a flying spaghetti monster too. It's called natural selection. It's called the Big Bang. You believe by faith. What are you talking about? You don't have any proof of this. You guys are a bunch of hateful racists. Bunch of monkey men is all you are. That's right. Hackle's racism. Hackle believed that man evolved from apes and that some races are less evolved. Well, now, why don't they teach that in the hood? Why don't they go to northern Minneapolis and teach this part of evolution? What do you think? You think they'll teach this part? Why? Because they're a bunch of lying hypocrites. That's why. They're a bunch of liars. He wrote, new perfect races arise continually and improve themselves in the struggle for existence, while the imperfect races, just as frequently as they drive out the old root forms, die out and become extinct. He said the lower races of men remind us of our animal ancestors and seem to manifest a closer connection with the gorilla and chimpanzee of that region than with a cant or a goat. He said the tribes of South Africa have remained down to the present day at the lowest stage of human development and made the smallest advance beyond the ape. So these souls for whom Christ died, he calls nothing more than animals. Want to know where all the pygmies went? Know where they went? Want to know where their skulls are? Have you ever heard that side of evolution? Have they ever told you what they were headhunters that went out and hunted their heads and killed them and brought their skulls to the Smithsonian and other institutes? And the Smithsonian has a lot of skulls in its basement. Right. They said, yeah, these people look like monkeys, so we're going to kill them. So they just about completely eradicated the pygmies completely. And the Aborigines, they killed thousands of them. In fact, there's missionaries. There's a slide in Kent Hovind's presentation on the dangers of evolution that you can watch. And in that, he shows the slides of these missionaries that went there and said, hey, this is going on, man. They're killing people. They're killing these pygmies, and they're taking their heads, and they're taking them back to museums. No, back then. Why were they killing these people? Well, because this is survival of the fittest. They're not. Natural selection, they're imperfect. They represent the link from monkeys to humans, from apes to humans. So they're not highly, there's nothing wrong with killing them. Well, I suppose they must have thought that they were a what was that called, Brother Paul, that guy told us? Was it a partial person or a, what did he say it was? Potential. It's a potential person. That guy was drunk or something. Anyway, he said it was a potential person. So I suppose these pygmies were nothing more than potential persons. Well, surely Grandpa Darwin, old monkey face himself, didn't believe that, did he? And his disciples, Darwin's demonic disciples. Now, Hacko, he couldn't have. I mean, his information, 100,000 books or hundreds of thousands of books that flooded the German people, and it boasted them and it boosted their white supremacy. Surely that wouldn't have influenced them. Surely this man, this educated man, surely he wouldn't have wanted to kill people for their color or because they were inferior, would he have? Well, let's see. He said the gorilla, he said this, some of Haeckel's charts depicted the supposed evolution of modern man from the lower race, the Negroid, he called them, to the higher Caucasians, and especially, of course, Germans. It always struck me as odd how Adolf Hitler got away with all that, because he had black hair. And he wasn't German. I'll tell you how he got away with it. Witchcraft. We'll talk about that Sunday. A little bit. Not much. Just a little bit. I have to touch on it a little bit. More so his theory of evolution that pushed natural selection. But he was connected. All these people, the satanic roots are all. See, listen, folks, I would be doing you a great disservice if I did not mention what these people actually believed and who they followed and the spirit that was behind them. Because I don't hear people talk about it that much, what these people actually believed, what their religion was. This was their religion. This is what they did. They were murderers, like God said they would be. All right, so he said he strongly believed in racial superiority, considering it a natural product of evolution. Hackel wrote this, between the most highly developed animal soul and the least developed human soul, there exists only a small quantitative but no qualitative difference. And that this difference is much less than the difference between the lowest and the highest human souls, or as the difference between the highest and lowest animal souls. He divided man into two species, the straight-haired and the woolly-haired. He looked upon Australian Aborigines as closer to apes or even dogs in their reasoning faculties than to the higher humans. Hackel said that since the woolly-haired are psychologically nearer to the mammals than to the civilized Europeans, we must therefore assign a totally different value to their lives. Robert Lyon, Nazi Doctor, page 125. So those souls for whom Christ died, there's no value to their lives. We must assign a different value to their lives. Do you see how we got where we are with abortion? Do you see how we murder our own? And do you see how many stupid Americans there are that fall for this garbage every day that have bought hook, line, and sinker this right here? Hackel made a drawing of a tree polluted by a gorilla and an orangutan, a chimpanzee, and a Negro. What did he do? Well, he drew pictures, and he made an African man look more like a monkey, and made a monkey look more like a human, and put them all together. And hey, the Aborigine's not worth nothing. Go hunt his skull down and take it to the Smithsonian. So do you realize that these people went out and murdered these people and took their skulls? And do you understand that? Like they were cattle? They murdered them. Those poor people died and went to hell. What you teach matters. I've got to get moving. In the Natural History of Creation, Haeckel featured a series of 12 drawings depicting the alleged evolution of man from ape to Greek. There are 6 apes and 6 men. The highest ape looks much like the lowest man, who is some sort of African black man or an Australian aboriginal. The drawings are heavily modified in that the apes are given more human features while the lower humans are given more ape-like features. Haeckel held the lower species of men are of little value. The value of life of these lower wild peoples is equal to that of the anthropoid apes, or stands only slightly above them. From Darwin to Hitler, page 109. As Richard Weikart observes, Haeckel's devaluing of primitive races by placing them on par with animals would be the next stop toward a genocidal mentality. Hitler just believed it. He just believed it. You might think, man, this has got to be like a fairy tale. This can't be real, what you're saying. No, this is real. Factual, historical, documented, real. Mm-hmm. Why don't any of us know about it? Why are we ignorant of it? Why didn't we learn it in public school? That's right. You're going to find out because we're going to cover the Department of Education and this. Yeah, there's a lot. We're going to cover this Lady Gaga Department of Education, a lot of things that this new era, this new plan, they're basically mind control. But what they've used the Department of Education for, that's the first one. The next one is going to be Lady Gaga. And what's it called again? Emotional intelligence. We're going to cover that. That'll be two shows. So we're going to record two shows this week. Anyway, okay, so that's what Hankel believed. Well, like he said, it was the next stop toward genocidal mentality. Can you believe, though, these lying satanic devils try to say this had nothing to do with the slaughter of the Jews or the racial superiority that had permeated Germany and brought about the rise of Hitler? I mean, you got to be a complete idiot to look at this and not believe that. I mean, to study the facts, you have to be an absolute liar and dishonest to try to not make that connection. All this proves is evolution is bringing on the Antichrist. That's all it's about. Placing value on different people due to the color of their skin. Then it was the size of the human, the baby. Well, it's a potential person. It's not a person, so I can kill it. It's hard to hold back. Amen. Modern evolutionists are quick to distance themselves from the racism that was rampant among early Darwinians. But if evolution is true, then racism would also have a scientific basis, wouldn't it? Why would all evolved men be equal? Why wouldn't some be more recently and more highly evolved? It is only the Bible's doctrine of the divine creation, which says men are made in the image of God, that gives men real equality and refutes racism. Creation teaches us that all men and women are the children of the same father, Adam, and he was not an ape. Number three, Hankel prepared Germany for Hitler. Again, like I said before, what you teach matters, and people will follow teaching, and what you believe dictates your behavior. If a man is a Muslim and believes the Quran fundamentally, then he will do what the Quran fundamentally says. He will follow it to its fullest, and he will believe it. Now, he might be a fake Muslim, and he might not believe it. He might be like the Roman Catholic, a lot of people that call themselves Roman Catholics that don't really believe it and wouldn't follow it. He might be that way. All right, there's Muslims like that out there that aren't really Muslim like that. But if you are a fundamental, hey, listen, we are fundamental Christians. Amen. We are historic Baptists. We are old-fashioned Bible believers. What do we? We follow it. We believe it. Amen. And our works show that we believe it. Our actions, what we do, take a look at the videos, how we preach, where we go, what we do, how we conduct our lives, the homeschooling we do, the children that we have, all of those things show the proof of what we believe. We have a faith, a belief that behaves. So did he. His belief dictated his behavior and helped to dictate Adolf Hitler's. If a man believes evolution, then he will do what it teaches, and he will promote it to the fullest. And Hankel argued that evolution supposedly rewards the fittest man. And he said the fittest man should help evolution along by eliminating the unfit. Love thy neighbor as thyself? No. Kill the infidel, right? The cruel and unsparing struggle for existence, he said, which rages and naturally must rage everywhere in the biosphere, this unceasing and inexorable competition of all living creatures is an undeniable fact. Only the chosen minority of the privileged ones in the condition to survive successfully this competition, while the great majority of the competitors must necessarily perish miserably. Babies can't survive, so you can suck their brains out and kill them. They can't take care of themselves, so obviously they can't survive. So it's survival of the fittest, so you can just kill them. Mm-hmm. In the Natural History Creation, in 1870, Hankel praised the Spartans because they practiced euthanasia of imperfect babies in order to create the superior man. By the way, Hankel's a big reason why you have abortion today. A huge reason why you do. his writings. Now listen to this. He said they had euthanasia. He praised them for the euthanasia of imperfect babies in order to create the superior man. Later, he confessed that he had indeed supported infanticide in his earlier book. Indeed, I supported, he said. Killing of the unfit was, in his estimation, the logical consequence of Darwinian survival of the fittest. And I agree. He's not lying. He's telling you the truth. That's the doctrine of Darwinianism. Haeckel promoted abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia for the inferior. He proposed a dose of some painless and rapid poison for those that were mentally handicapped or were physically ill. To do away with the hundreds of thousands of incurables, he said lunatics, lepers, people with cancer, etc. Haeckel proposed that euthanasia program that would be under the control of an authoritative commission. Wait a minute, you mean like Obamacare? You mean like death panels? You conservatives and you Christians are making those death panel things up. I mean, that wasn't already written a long time ago or something. You would think like a, I don't know. It's like saying the Patriot Act was just written in one day. Well, it was by a Jesuit, but he brought it out in one day. He gave it to them, and they said, here. They don't even read the bills. They don't pass the bill. They don't read any bills. They're already written for them. Who writes them? Who knows? Hitler took Haeckel's Darwinian philosophy to the most radical conclusion, euthanizing millions of inferiors and forcefully sterilizing millions more. Killed millions and sterilized millions. Why? Well, they're imperfect. They're not perfect. There's some flaw in them, so let's sterilize them. Haeckel gave impetus to the abortion movement by teaching that the embryo is still in the evolutionary stage and not fully human. Where do we hear that? A potential person, didn't we? Yeah, Peter Ruckman, that's right. I'm going to get to that, actually, unfortunately. Even the newborn child, according to Haeckel, listen to this. This is where Ruckman got this. I'm sorry, but I honestly believe that he got it right here. Because if you listen to this, it sounds just like Ruckman. Listen to this. I'm going to read the whole thing to you again. Haeckel gave impetus to the abortion movement by teaching that the embryo is still in the evolutionary stage and not fully human. Even the newborn child, according to Haeckel, not only possesses no consciousness and no reason, but it is also dumb and only gradually develops the activity of the senses and of the mind. Haeckel believed that the newborn infant has no soul, and therefore the destruction of abnormal newborn infants cannot rationally be classed as murder. Haeckel, Wonders of Life. I mean, that's what Peter Ruckman says. It has no soul, so it's not real life. Until it takes its first breath. For the mentally handicapped, he recommended. Oh, this is nice of him. He's such a nice man. Can I tell you what he recommended for my sister, my two sisters? For the mentally handicapped, he recommended a small dose of morphine or cyanide to free this pitiful creature from itself as well as from being a burden on its caretakers. I just would have liked to stand across from this guy when he said this stuff. I'm fairly confident he would have been missing some teeth. And back then, you wouldn't have really went to jail for that long, so it would have been worth it. He might have walked around with the rest of his life with no two front teeth. Those would have been some interesting lectures. I know, that's so awful. You shouldn't do that. I know, he only wants to take a needle and stick it in my sister and kill her. But hey, that's cool. That's the way it goes, right? That's right. That's right. None calleth for justice. None. Anyway, that's one of those real men alerts right there. Yeah. He says, we have the right, or if one prefers, the duty to end the deep suffering of our fellow humans, if strong illness without hope of recovery makes their existence unbearable, and if they themselves ask us for redemption from evil. From Darwin to Hitler, page 148. Not only did Haeckel justify infanticide, abortion, and assisted suicide, or voluntary euthanasia, but he also supported the involuntary killing of the mentally ill. He condemned the idea that all human life should be preserved, He condemned the idea that all human life should be preserved even when it is totally worthless. that authoritative panel determines what is worthless. Are you ready? Listen, it gets worse. He complained that not only are mentally ill people burdens to society, but so are lepers, cancer patients, and others with incurable illnesses. Why not just spare ourselves much pain and money, he asked, by just giving them a shot of morphine? The leading Darwinist in Germany thus gave his scientific stamp to murdering the disabled, both in infancy and adulthood. Likert, page 148. Bill said that, too. But we can't talk about that, the old lady that has cancer that's dying. We can't talk about not treating her and ending her life, because that's called a death panel. And, whoa, we can't talk about that. And letting the teacher have her salary. Can't talk about that. You know, I get so sick and tired of people that have no fire and zeal. What are you doing? Some people, some Christians, they sit around today, and I believe they're saved, but I'm telling you what, they are asleep. And it is high time you awake out of sleep. There is a war against God going on out there, and it is raging. And it's against life. And you sit there and get mad at preaching. Some of your family members sit and get mad at biblical preaching against sin and wickedness. Yeah, why don't you get mad at sin and wickedness? Why don't you pick up a sign and go out there and preach, huh? Talk about how Christian you are. That's right. Christian humanists. Preach that sermon sometime. That'd be a good one. Haeckel wanted to raise the German people to the status of a superior race, purified of the blood of the unfit. His disciple Alexander Tilly said that their goal was the elevation and more excellent formation of the human race. And this would require a twofold program. Careful selection of the best and merciless elimination of the worst. Looks like he did it. Hitler's deputy Rudolf Hess said the National Socialism is nothing but applied biology. I'll read that to you again. It's just science. Hitler's deputy, Rudolf Hess, said that National Socialism is nothing but applied biology. And he's right. Darwinian applied biology. Right? All they did was supply Hitler with what he needed. He, Haeckel, convinced masses of his countrymen that they must accept their evolutionary destiny as a master race and outcompete inferior peoples, since it was right and natural that only the fittest should survive. His version of Darwinism was incorporated in Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf. Did I say that right? Mein Kampf, thank you. Mein Kampf, which means my struggle, taken from Haeckel's German translation of Darwin's phrase, the struggle for existence. It's the same thing. By the way, that was from R. Milner in Encyclopedia of Evolution, 1990, page 207. In 1918, Darwin's apostle, Ernest Haeckel, became a member of the Thule Society. You ever heard of that? The Thule Society. Yeah, how about that, huh? Some call it the Tool, I think. Is that what they say? They are a bunch of tools, that's right. But is it Thule or is it Tool, Aaron? Okay, a secret radical right-wing organization that played a key role in the establishment of the Nazi movement. Rudolf Hess and Hitler attended the meetings as guests. Wait a minute. So Haeckel was a part of that. Then Adolf Hitler was a part of that same society. You'll learn a little bit more about that on Sunday, because you have to really understand Hitler, what he was into. I mean, Ernest Haeckel, professor at the University in Jena, was the pioneer promoter of Darwinism on the European continent, just as Thomas Huxley was Darwin's bulldog in England. His vestiges in recapitulation theory and history of evolutionary theory and his fraudulent activities promote Darwinism by his dishonest methods. Along with Nietzsche, Haeckel helped lay the foundation for the German militarism, which produced World War I and World War II. Whereas Lenin and Marx were concerned with class struggle for supremacy, Haeckel and Nietzsche were preoccupied with the super race, the conquest of the inferior ones. Haeckel professed a mystical belief in the forces of nature and a literal transfer of the laws of biology to the social realm. The movement he founded in Germany was proto-Nazi. In character, Romantic Volkism and the Monist League, established in 1906 along with evolution and science, laid the ideological foundations of the German National Socialism movement. In other words, they paved the way for Hitler. English Darwinianism interlinked two main themes, natural selection and the struggle for existence. Social Darwinism is an attempt to explain human society in terms of evolution. But Haeckel, proto-Nazi interpretation, was quite different from that of the capitalist Herbert Spencer or the communist Marx. For him, a major component was the ethic of inherent struggle between higher and lower cultures, between races of men. In other words, he wanted to kill and eradicate races. He was inspired by the writings of Darwin. Haeckel, he became a great forerunner of the Nazi violence, which killed millions and littered Europe with its wreckage. Along with his social Darwinist followers, Haeckel set about to demonstrate the aristocratic and non-democratic aspect of the laws of nature. Up to his death in 1919, Haeckel contributed to that special variety of German thought which served as the seedbed for National Socialism. He became one of Germany's main ideologists for racism, nationalism, and imperialism. Darwinianism was taken to its logical extreme. Kill the gentle and the unfortunate. German Darwinism was shaped by Ernst Haeckel, who combined it with anti-clericalism, militaristic patriotism, and visions of German racial purity. He encouraged the destruction of the established church in Germany with its sermons about the meek shall inherit the earth and compassion for the unfortunates. Such a superstitious doctrine would lead to racial suicide. Haeckel was a fraud. Now we'll get into the science. We're going to get into the Thule Society on Sunday, though, because I have more to really cover there with you. And it really, I mean, all he was in that society, all his writings went into there. And, I mean, there's some connections to some really awful people in that. But I want to just talk to you about his errors quickly, his lies, basically, and his falsified information. Then we're going to be done here. But all of this is what Hitler used to do what he did, and he justified it. It's just applied biology. That's all it is. It's science. It's abortion, right? It's science. Haeckel was a fraud and a liar who built everything on a lie. It is of interest in 1997 that Dr. Michael Richardson, as an embryologist at St. George's Medical School in London, assembled a scientific team that photographed the growing embryos of 39 different species. In a 1997 interview in the London Times, Richardson said this about Haeckel. He said, "This is one of the worst cases of scientific fraud." He said, "It's shocking to find that somebody one thought was a great scientist was deliberately misleading people." He said, "It makes me angry. What he, Haeckel, did was to take a human embryo and copy it, pretending that the salamander and the pig and all the others look the same at the same stage of development. They don't. These are fakes." That's what they used to justify abortion. Well, they're all just, they got gill slits, right? They all got gill slits. They're all just a bunch of fish. So you can kill them off then. They're not evolved yet. He says these are fakes. Biogenetic law and fraudulent drawings have been printed in school textbooks down to the present day. This is from the Evolution Cruncher, by the way. Haeckel's law, even though Haeckel called it a law, recent scientists have less complimentary words for it. It is a theory that in spite of its exposure, its effects continue to linger in the nooks and crannies of zoology. Basically, he was just a liar that he faked photographs, and he made them all look the same. So he took a bird, took all these other things in their embryos, and he made them all look the same so he could say, "See, there's nothing different about humans." And people believed him. From a drawing, yes, from a drawing they believed him. I mean, could we just really stop believing what medical doctors and scientists tell us for the most part? Because they're a bunch of liars. By the way, just so you know, the doctors base everything on evolution. You mean God actually made your body to heal itself, and if you put the right things in, you can actually help it? Actually, yeah. And let me tell you, the right things are not injections from a doctor. They're not vaccines from a doctor to stick in your arm. Telling you, you have all too much confidence in doctors. Remember, these are the doctors. He was a medical doctor. Well, they wouldn't lie, would they? No. Of course not. In recent years, an instrument called a fetoscope has been developed, which, when inserted in the uterus, permits observation and photography of every stage of human embryo during its development. As a result of research such as this, it is now known that at every stage, fetal development is perfect, uniquely human, and entirely purposive. There are no unnecessary processes or structures. As a law, this principle has been questioned. It has been subjected to careful scrutiny and has been found wanting. He's talking about Haeckel's law. He said that developmental differences. He said this: Haeckel's so-called law teaches that all embryos not only look alike, but they must all develop in the same way, thus proving their ancestry. But actually, embryological growth of various species reveals many differences in development, so many that they entirely disprove Haeckel's recapitulation theory. For example, what would Haeckel do with the crabs? One type hatches out of the larval from the zoas, which is totally different from the adult form, yet other crabs hatch out directly as miniature crabs. Many other such oddities could be cited. In other words, he lied. He lied, and they based science on it. And they killed babies because of it. And Hitler attempted to wipe out races, and Aborigines were killed, and all these other things happened. Why? Because a man lied and drawed some pictures, and you believed it. And that was all it took for you to deny the God of the Bible, was that? Right? That's all that it took. In the history of creation, Haeckel included a series of drawings showing the actual appearance, eating habits, and reproductive cycle of the mythical Monera, he called it. He said they are not composed of any organs at all, but consist entirely of shapeless, simple, homogeneous matter. Nothing more than a shapeless, mobile little lump of mucus or slime, consisting of albinous combinations of carbon and organisms without organ, which in their perfectly developed condition form a freely moving, naked, perfectly structureless, and homogeneous mass of sarcode. Well, he made it up. He lied. There was no such thing as Monera. He made it up. He just made it up. He even sailed around a ship, dug in some dirt, put it in a bottle, stuck it in some alcohol, and made it up. And people believed him. Well, he had help, though. See, because they couldn't prove that anything came from slime, right? They couldn't find anything on the earth that told them something came from slime. So one day, as Huxley was pontificating, I think there's something going to be found out there in the slime out there that's going to come out, and we're going to be able to use that as evidence that slime there turns into something, that mucus or that puke stack or whatever that is down there, that vomit there, whatever it is, that's going to bring life forth, and then we're going to find out our missing link that we need here to prove all this. So lo and behold, Haeckel comes along and he finds it digging in the dirt. How convenient. How convenient. Understand that Haeckel did not present Monera as a mere hypothesis. He presented it as scientific reality. That's what he did. But one chemist that was on board the ship when he was doing this told the truth. He said it was customary practice at that time for living samples to be preserved for later examination by dropping them into a specimen jar of strong alcohol. It was done in a routine manner so that the mud samples on board of the HMS Challenger would be able to be preserved. But a chemist on the expedition, who seems to have been more committed to his chemistry than to biology, pointed out that the protoplasmic matter recognized as B. Haeckeli, after him obviously, was nothing more than an amorphous precipitate or sulfate of lime, which forms when seawater is added to alcohol. Yep, he lied. He just lied. His lie cost millions of lives, though. You understand that? His lies cost millions of lives. The date was 1875, and that should have been an end of that Haeckeli then and there. But it was vitally important that those promoting the theory of evolution not to lose the public confidence by exposure of this. One may well wonder how such a grand cover-up was possible. It is not difficult to surmise how, when something of the conspiratorial nature of 19th century British science, with Thomas Huxley as the grand master, is understood, it has been exposed by Irving and Bibby. Later describes how Huxley formed the X Club in 1864. They controlled science. So what'd they do? When it was found out that this was fake, he covered it up. and Huxley covered up? Because Huxley was looking for that. So it was nothing, but he made it into something. Right. By the way, they used the Royal Society as well as a time of strategy to plot. We talked about that before. Anyway, so true to character, Haeckel did not apologize publicly for his gross error. In fact, he didn't even pull the myth from his book. Haeckel's history continued to be widely circulated, complete with the unrevised account of the mythical Monera for another half century, both in English and German, and continued to wield its influence. Well, in Germany especially, didn't it? We see then that the enthusiastic evolutionist Ernest Haeckel and Huxley had the same amazing powers as Percival Lowell, whereas Lowell saw canals, Haeckel and Huxley saw Monera. Percival was a man that said he saw canals on Mars. He said, I looked in my scope, and there are canals in Mars. There are canals on Mars. You see that? Canals. Well, he was lying. There wasn't any canals there. And he didn't see anything. Well, Haeckel and Huxley, they invented Monera, and they didn't see it either. They just made it up. It was slime and alcohol. Ernest Haeckel was the inventor of the evolutionary family tree. This was probably his most lasting and influential creation. Haeckel's family tree depicted all of life as a single tree with the mythical Monerian at the bottom of the trunk and the Menschen people at the top. Haeckel was apparently too illiterate on the evolutionary scale. Life supposedly progressed from Monerian to amoeba, to amphibian, to reptile, to mammals, to man. It's the trunk of the tree and the various types of creatures within the major categories allegedly branched to in various directions as evolution took its blind twists and turns. So he made it up. He just made a lot of fancy drawings, and he made up his drawings there like that, and that's what he did, and people followed him. Oh, look, it's a nice drawing. I believe it. It's true. It's got to be true because the science and a doctor says so, right? Because we believe everything doctors and scientists tell us, so hey, right? We believe the doctor. I don't really, yeah, they're practicing medicine. They're practicing. Just remember that. They ain't got it figured out. They're just practicing. Enough modern evolutionists would not agree with Haeckel about the details of the family tree. By the way, it was proven false, too, as well. His Monera was proven false. Basically, so what this man did was he prepared the way. There's more scientific stuff, but that's enough for tonight. This man basically paved the way for Hitler. He prepared the way for Adolf Hitler through his Thule Society as well, which we'll talk about on Sunday. But he prepared the way for him by teaching hateful racism, right? By teaching the superiority of the races, by teaching everything. He flooded Germany with his books, hundreds of thousands, and they were all based on lies that have been disproven by modern-day scientists that don't even... Listen, they don't even like to talk about Haeckel anymore. They don't like to talk about his drawings or anything. Why? Well, because they've been proven to be lies. So what you have to go back and see is that, are you saying that every single thing that they based evolution on was a lie? Yep. All of it's a lie. But it's worse than that. It's a satanic lie. Because it does away with the Creator to worship the creature, which is what Satan wants, is worship. And that's what Satan gets, is worship. That's what he gets. That's what he wants. That's what he gets. And that's what evolution provides. It is part of that end times Babylonian mystery religion. That's what it's a part of. That's what it's going to do. That's the science of it. You have the Roman Catholic Church that was involved with it. Everything else was involved with Adolf Hitler. But you see, be careful what you teach. Because some people might believe you. That's why we try to preach the Word of God and teach from this King James Bible and believe what it says. Because I want you to believe it. Amen. But you know what? Hitler believed what Haeckel said. And look what he did with it. Haeckel had no power to do what Hitler did. Haeckel had the teaching, though. So Haeckel provided the teaching, along with some other demonic things later that Hitler had, which we'll talk about. But Haeckel provided the teaching for Hitler and the scientific backing to do what he did. I have a question for you as we close here. Is there anything that they are doing now in the name of science around us that they do in the name of science now that is killing people? Right? That is killing life? abortion. It's evolutionary. That's what it is. It's evolutionary abortion. The GMO stuff, right? The genetically modified foods, all those other things. Those things are all done in the name of science. We base so much off medicine and everything else, but it's being based off of what? Evolution. So what are they doing? They poisoned people, and then years later, they know they're doing it, by the way. They know they're doing it. I firmly believe they know they're doing it. And then years later, they say, oh, well, we didn't realize that we were poisoning you. Right? We don't realize chemotherapy kills you or poisons you. They haven't admitted that yet. We don't realize all these other, these vaccines mercury, but also aborted fetus stem cells or whatever inside of them. These vaccines that they give, right? These flu shots that they give that are supposed to help you not get the flu. What's that? Still get the flu? Get sicker than a dog? Anyway, what else have they based science on? That's a question. So if they were wrong about that, what else are they wrong about? Right? What do they want to do to life? They want to kill it. That's right. Father, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be those that would go out and preserve life, Lord, and be a part of that and tell the truth about it. Lord, they no doubt want to put to death mentally handicapped people. They want to put to death Christians. They want to put to death a lot of people, Lord. They love killing babies, and they want a one-child policy in America. They would love to see that happen. And, Lord, they all base these things off of evolution. They poison people. They give people drugs that they don't need to destroy their lives and to kill them, Lord. And the devil uses those things. It's all his religion. And, Lord, evolution has pushed men like Adolf Hitler to the forefront. And other men like him, Lord, that have murdered and slaughtered innocent lives and killed many people. And, Lord, it's a religion of death. All they that hate you love death. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would please help us and use us, Father, to be a light and a witness to those that need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.